Welcome to this time of refreshing. This is a radio message that was preached from the platform of Kingdom Word Ministries by Pastor Banky.
Now let me continue what I began last time, speaking about the giant killer. And what we are looking at in the series titled The Giant Killer is the ability to conquer the tough challenges of life. I began that last time and I established a number of principles. I said that one, Israel, all right, was called to enter into the promised land. The time 12 spies went to go and check out the promised land from Kadesh Barnea, they all saw the beautiful things. Joshua and Caleb were not afraid of the giants. The other people were afraid. I said there is a reason for that. David was an Israelite, was not even old enough to be in the army. Yet when he came and he saw Goliath, who had terrified everybody in Israel, including David's elder brothers and the king, Saul. David saw him and he was not afraid. Again, I said, there is a reason for that. And then I said, these reasons are purely dependent upon the people, not dependent upon God. The victory of David was hinged upon the covenant he had as a circumcised child of God, a member of the nation of Israel. The other people had it, but they did not recognize it. And the same thing for Joshua and Caleb. And we'll talk about the man Samson. Samson was anointed from his mother's womb, if you read his story. And his anointing was so strong that it used to make people wonder. We said he was not a physically strong man. If you saw him on the way, you probably would have picked a fight with him, not realizing that you might die in the process. He was just a normal person. But when the anointing would come upon him, he would do great things, all right, that thousands of people put together, all right, may not be able to do. And yet, this man, he fell at the feet of one tiny little woman called Delilah. Again, we said something was wrong with him. Something was wrong in his character. I said that these people are examples of children of God, that God has placed inside us the abilities to overcome the challenges of life. A man was born poor is just one of those challenges of life. If he understands the victory that God has given him in Christ Jesus, he will look at it the way David looked at Goliath. And say, what is poverty? We'll overcome it. Are you getting my point? If he sees the fact that he doesn't have resources around him or he's not well educated, he will look at it the same way Joshua and Caleb looked at the giants in the promised land, and he will be able to overcome them. Why? Because inside him is the spirit of the overcomer. Every child of God, listen to this again, every child of God is a victor. Every child of God, the Bible says, is more than a conqueror. Every child of God, the Lord said it like this, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The economic problems of life cannot prevent you from becoming what you are supposed to be. Some people say the reason why I'm not doing well is because I'm not in the correct country, on the correct city. You know, a lot of pastors will abandon the place where God sent them and run to Lagos because offering is bigger in Lagos. Listen, it is because they have not understood that greater is he that is in them than he that is in the geographical location. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Like I like to see all the time, my favorite scripture concerning that is the book of Isaiah chapter 66 verse 12. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river. It flows towards you, not you running after it. And the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Anywhere I am in life, God knows I am there and he will send resources there if necessary. Are you getting the point I'm to make? Now, this is a matter of fact. We have the ability to face the challenges of life and we don't have to run helter-skelter. We said a lot of people don't understand this and there is a reason why they don't understand it. And those are the things we want to look at. Now, remember, let's look at that story of Samson again. It's from the book of Judges. Now, don't forget one of the things I said also, that life has phases. There's a phase of calling. That's where we ended it. There's a phase, that's last time, there's a phase of choosing, and then there's a phase of establishing, that everybody is called. Amongst those called, some will do things that will qualify them for the next level. They are the ones that will do the things that will qualify them. Are you getting my point? It's not as if God is partial. Are you getting my point? It's not as if he loves one more than the other. He calls everybody. Even those that God loves, if they do things that are out of order, he rejects them. Do you understand what I'm going to explain? There was a time he sent a prophet to Eli. He said, did I not say to you that you and your fathers will stand before me forever as priests? He said, no, I changed my mind. Because whoever honors me, I will honor. It's a simple thing. You follow my point? That is, anybody who wants to be established as a priest must know how to honor God. That's what he was saying. If you want to be established, if you want to be established as a priest, you must go and learn what it means to honor God. So it's not that God just loves somebody. They are the ones that will identify what is right, do what is right. You understand my point? And then God will look at those things and use those things to qualify the person for the next phase of life. So look at Samson. Samson was called from his mother's womb. And as a matter of fact, every one of us, children of God, we have a calling upon our heads. Every one of us. Every one of us. And from his mother's womb, he was anointed. But one thing you will notice about the life of Samson, which is very interesting. Now, if you read in Judges chapter 13, you will see that that's the story where his father and his mother were spoken to by the angel, and then he was born. And the first thing that happened in the life of Samson, recorded, was in verse 1 of chapter 14. Then Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. So he came back and told his father and mother, I saw a woman in Timnah, and then I want her as wife. And then the parents protested, why do you want to marry an uncircumcised Philistine? And he insisted and said, that's the one that looks good to me. However, the Bible says that his parents did not realize that this was from the Lord, for he was seeking an occasion against the Philistines. I need to just quickly explain something. A number of things. Number one, you see where Samson's problems began. Now, some people may wonder that, okay, he said that this was from the Lord. You must understand something about God. He said he has made everything for a purpose, even the wicked man for his role in the day of destruction. God used Samson's character to bring out something he wanted to do against the nation of the Philistines. The fact is this, Samson was a stubborn man who did not listen to his parents. He was not educated in the ways of God. Are you getting my point? And that manifested in the fact that everywhere he went, he saw a woman. Because this is just a radio broadcast, we don't have all the time to be analyzing it in details. You will see here, the Bible says that he went there and saw a woman. Let's quickly go down. You'll see another one. Go to Judges chapter 16. Now, Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her. This is a child of God, a member of the covenant of Israel. Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went in to her. Are you getting the point I'm making? Let me say something to you here. You notice this very closely. Immediately after that, the people surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. And they kept silent all night, saying, let us wait until the morning, then we will kill him. Now, when Samson woke up in the morning, he tore down the gates of the city. That is, the anointing came upon him, even though he just left the house of a harlot. Are you following the point I'm making? Did God sanction his going to the house of a harlot? No, I am going somewhere else. Finally, he got to, again, verse 4 of that same chapter 16. And it came about that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came to her and said to her, entice him and all of that. Have you noticed? One, he saw a woman. Next, he went into a harlot. Then finally, what killed him was the next woman he saw called Delilah. There's one principle I want to establish from the life of Samson. What did Delilah do to Samson? She caused them to shave his hair. Now, of all the sins that a man can commit, which one is worse? Going to the barber or going to a harlot? I think going to the barber is a simple thing. You can grow the hair back. He that joins himself to a harlot is one with her. But why did God not punish Samson the time he went to a harlot? But when he got to the time of cutting his hair, the Lord was angry. Now, we can look at it different ways. That this was a covenant, this was not a covenant. But this is the point. And this is what I want to really teach in this series. When I talk about the giant killer. Every child of God has a dose of God's anointing. You have the responsibility in life to build it up. And you have the opportunity in life to waste it. Listen. Anointing, listen to me, does not preserve your life. I want Christians to understand that. The anointing of God does not preserve your life. What preserves the life of the anointed man is the same thing that preserves the life of every other Christian, and that is obedience to the principles of God. It was wrong of Samson to have gone into a harlot. If you read the story in context, try and read between the lines, you will see this was his habit. He was a spoiled child whose parents couldn't give direction to, and therefore he was wasting his energy. Listen to the, let me read this scripture. You'll see what I want to say from there. Now, that's the book of Proverbs chapter 31. The words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him. You will see, he said, "What, O my son? And what, O son of my womb?" Verse 3 says, "Do not give your strength to women, or your ways to that which destroys kings." He said, "Do not give your strength to women, or your ways to that which destroys kings." This is the point I want to make. What happened to Samson? Listen to this. He wasted his strength on those women. What happened to Samson? He wasted his strength on those women. I want to use as a pivotal, all right, as a point to explain a lot of things I want to say in this series. We're talking about the giant killer. Don't forget what I started with. Every child of God can kill the giants. There is no giant in life you can't tackle. There is none. The giant may have the name sickness, you can tackle it. It may have the name poverty, you can tackle it. It may have the name the country you live in, you can tackle it. It may have the name unemployment, you can tackle it. Do you get the point I'm making? If they sack you from the job of your dreams, it's just a giant, you can kill it. Some people see it and they run away and they lose heart and they lose their destiny. But if you see the fact that I got fired as a giant, you will handle it. You know why? Because deep inside you is the power of God to handle it. And there's no temptation that can come upon you that God didn't give you the strength to handle. He knew you can handle it. And if only you will settle down and look, you will discover that he already provided a way of escape. Most people that lost jobs have other jobs waiting. Oh God, the problem is they don't know how to recognize it. Oh, before I get beside myself, don't ever forget. The time Hagar was sent away by Abraham, and they gave her just a skin of water. When the water ran out, it ran out beside a well, but she did not see the well. Do you get my point? When jobs are taken away, oftentimes there's another one beside it. I preached a message titled, "Open My Eyes, O God," and that's what I explained in that message. That when the angel of God opened the eyes of Hagar, she saw that it was a well right by. Right beside where she was, but she didn't see it before. Many people are struggling for the river that is far away, the stream that is far away. Where will I get water from? Meanwhile, they are sitting on top of a well, worrying. They die of thirst beside the well. Why? Listen to this. They were blinded. Again, I'm discussing along the line the things that blind people. Let me quickly jump into it. There's something I say all the time when I talk about sin. The day of judgment, I always like Christians to understand this. People say in the day of judgment, they're going to show you all the bad things you did on the screen, and they'll be watching it. And like I say all the time, they don't watch horror movies in heaven. They don't watch horror movies there. Nobody wants to be seeing all the orukuruku you performed in corners. Nobody's interested. What God judges is how well did you complete the assignment that he gave you to do on the earth. He said books were opened, another book was opened, which was the book of life. He said the dead were judged according to the things that were written in the books. What books are they talking about? There are two sets of books. The books written before you were born and the ones written after you were born. All they do is compare the two. The things written before you were born are the plans that God has for your life. The things written after you were born are the ones that you did in accordance with the plan. You are judged as a Christian in how much the books written after you were born coincides and correlates with that written before you were born. That's all judgment is about. He said, what about sin? A man of iniquity can never fulfill the plan of God for his life. That's all. I'm of the persuasion that Samson did not do a quarter of what he was supposed to do. I'm of that persuasion. Why was he not able to do it? This is what I will say. Sin is a poison, I say all the time. Sin is the reason why a woman does not fulfill the plan that God has for his or her life. Are you getting my point? It is not. Listen, you notice something here. And that's one thing that a lot of people don't understand. Listen, when you are copying, just to help a lot of Christians. If you are copying a man of God and he does what is wrong, don't think because he's anointed, what is wrong is correct. Anointing seems to overlook the bad the man is doing. What came upon Samson? After he left the house of the harlot and anointed, They heard he was inside. Don't you get the point? The Bible said that he saw a harlot and went into her. He didn't go to ask for direction. No. You are getting the point? Yes, he went into her. He did not go there checking, please, do you have food here? He slept there overnight. They gathered around him at night. Yet, when he came out of his fornicatory adventure, or adulterous adventure, an anointing came upon him. Listen to me, if he was a preacher, he would have preached and he would have been blessed. Don't say because of that tomorrow. If you want to enter ministry, you're going to look for a harlot. You will just die faster than Samson. Do you get the principle? Now, listen. What was happening to Samson was that without realizing it, listen to this. Lemuel said, do not give your strength to women or your ways to that which destroys kings. That is, he was wasting his strength. He did not know. In case you want to know it, the reason, you know, Solomon was a man that God called. You know, the son, the name Jedidiah was given to him personally by God. The prophet came and said, this is the name. God said, this is my name for this boy. In the last days of his life, he was following people in idol worship. Why? Because he had given his strength to women. Are you getting the point? What is our lesson there? No, our story is what? The giant killer. I've established the fact that every child of God is a giant killer. The giant of unemployment, he's a killer. You get my point? Of that giant. The giant of ineffective ministry, he's a killer of that giant. The giant of hereditary poverty, he's a killer of that giant. And listen to me, let me say it again. No child of God is cursed. They say, you know, we have this near success syndrome. It's one fat lie that people tell every day. There is no human being that does not have a near success syndrome. Many things you wanted to do in life, last minute, is spoiled. It's true. Some people say near success. Every woman I chase, you know, after spending money on them, they will just refuse the last moment. Go and check. It's not a syndrome. It's your life. It's true. No child of God is cursed. You must understand that. People go around looking for who will break the curse over them. You are not cursed. You will see where your energy is going as I go on in this series. I've seen it a lot of times. A lot of people who are business people, they say that, pray for me. There's a problem. What is it? When you finish hearing it, these days I'm so used to it. If a businessman walks up to me and says there's a curse upon him, I say, go away, you're a liar. And I'm not talking about his lying about the curse. Go to his business. He cheats people. That is a matter of fact. What happened to Samson? He was a giant killer by birth. Are you getting my point? But what happened to him was that he wasted his energy. So that the day Delilah comes, listen to me. I said earlier, between going to a harlot and cutting the hair, which one looks strong, like a worse sin? I mean, it's going to a harlot. But the time he went to a harlot, nothing happened. The time he cut his hair, something terrible happened. Now, we can look at this as that was a sign of a covenant, and that is correct. But one thing I want you to understand, there's another side of it you must look at. His energy, his strength was leaking. It was leaking. The time it leaked and it became empty was when he was no longer able to stand the pressure of Delilah. Are you getting my point? And that now finally had his hair cut. It was not the cutting of hair that was the problem. It's that at that point, his strength was finished. Listen to me. The strength to tackle the challenges of life God poured into the lives of all his children. I said earlier, they have one assignment to do with it, to increase it, and we'll talk about it as we go on. Because that's one thing you will see that was different between Joshua and Caleb as one group and the rest of the people. They had fed their strength so that the time that they saw giants, it was natural for them to look down on the giants. Do you know why? Men actually see with their spirits, not with their eyes. I pray you get what I'm trying to say. Actually, what you see outside is, look, somebody said, you don't see with your eyes, you see through your eyes. Are you getting my point? You don't see with your eyes, you see through your eyes. A blind man may have nothing to see through,
But it's not because he doesn't have vision, but there's nothing to see through.
Are you getting what I'm trying to explain?
Many people have eyes to see through, but they have nothing inside to see through it. I don't know whether you are getting the point I'm making. People don't actually see with their eyes. They see through those eyes. What am I saying? The giant was there. The image of the giant passed through the eyes. But what did Caleb see? The truth is that what you see with is your spirit. Caleb and Joshua, their spirits were big and tall and very high. So the giants looked small. I don't know whether you get my point. But the other spies, they were small in their spirits. So when they looked at the giants, they said, we were like grasshoppers before them. And so we were in our own eyes. That is, we saw the same giants, two different conclusions. Men don't see with their eyes. They see with what is inside them. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Listen, what was it that happened to Samson? Samson's energy had been wasted. Samson's energy was depleted. What am I explaining? What happened to Joshua and Caleb was that they had built up their own spirit so that when they saw the challenges of life, to them it was nothing. Remember, not because they were naturally bold, but because their spirits were enlarged. In Samson's case, his spirit had shriveled, had become small. When Delilah put pressure on him, that was it. He was out. What am I trying to explain? God didn't kill him when he went to the harlot. Not a problem. But the harlot took a big chunk out of his strength. What am I saying to believers? Everything you do in life is either building up your strength or is leaking your strength. Listen, sin, let me talk about sin again. People have always looked at sin. For example, now, he went to a harlot. That's bad, yes. But is that the only sin? What is sin? Anything you are engaged in that reduces your spiritual energy. That's what sin is. Conversations you are having that are wearing out your spiritual energy, that is sin. For some people, the places you go, oh God, just merely going to certain places, that's what the Bible talks about. Blessed is the man who does not walk in certain places. For some other people, where they sit, where they hang out on Friday night, people say to me, is drinking beer a sin? You have seen right now that beer is not the problem. More importantly, where do you drink it? It sounds funny, but what I've said is a matter of fact. What is more important than did I drink beer or did I not drink beer? Believe me, is where did I drink it? I say to people all the time, if you're a Christian, stop coming asking me whether it is right to drink beer. If you can go to church and you and your pastor settle around, all right? You and other brethren, you gather, you join hands, you praise God, and you are sharing the word of God, you are drinking your beer. It must be godly. If you can't do that, please don't come to me. If it is the one you hang out with, you understand my point? That's conducive for darkly lit environments with half-clad women around you. You know, say, Pastor, drinking is not bad. Listen to me. You are seated in the seat of discomfort. It is draining your spiritual energy. This is why you will not succeed in life. I'm not fighting you over whether you are drinking beer or you're not drinking beer. Go and read the scriptures where you will see the power of communion. When Jesus wanted to pass his spirit into his disciples, he had communion with them. Every time you hang in strange places, you are having communion with people. As they are eating the suya, this is my flesh that is broken to destroy your destiny. Eat! Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
It's ordinary suya. But it's amongst what kind of people are you eating it? Something was hanging out with the harlot. And of course, you trust women now. He said, man, the champion has come. They will be singing for him, dancing half naked for him. The guy will be feeling like a champion. Say, yes, any guy, try you, come and report to me. He won't know that every striptease he watches is his spiritual energy disappearing. Finally, something as trivial as the shaving of the hair killed him. We think that was the day he died. No. He was dying slowly over time. He did not realize it. What am I saying to you, Christians? Sin is a slow poison. Sin is not just, hey, I saw a woman, I took her to a corner. That is sin. I mean, he took this one, something went into a harlot. That reduced a heavy dose of your strength. But sometimes, it's just the kind of company you keep. Who gives you advice? If you're a woman, you are married, you are happy, you go to the office, your best friends are women that have left their husbands. You are walking in sin. It's the advice they are giving you that's the problem. I've seen people, they don't steal, but their best friends are criminals. They themselves, they say, I don't know why they do so, but then look for them on Friday. After work, the guy beside him, certified 419. The one in front, cocaine pusher. The one on the left is a pimp, arranging babes for politicians. Then he sits down in the midst of them and says, me, I'm a Christian. I don't have time for all those kind of things. And even if it's La Casera you drank, you are sharing communion. Don't come and harass whether you are drinking Gouda or stout or dry gin. Whatever you drink under such circumstances, you are having communion. Are you seeing what kills giant killers? So that a little thing, something as trivial as refusing to tell somebody the secret of your life, something couldn't hold it anymore. Because the strength that God gives you is primarily to face the challenges of life. And like I say all the time, everybody is going to have a Delilah one day. Delilah will visit you. There's nothing you can do about it. It's God's order that one day you will have a visit from your own Delilah. One day I preached this message in a particular school. At the end of the day, people ask questions. One young man asked me, say, how will I know my Delilah? I said to him, it is unnecessary. A man of strength will pass over Delilah and not know she ever existed. And many people listening to me, your Delilah has come, has gone, you did not know. You thought it was one of those little irritations of life. Why was it little? Why was it just an irritation to you? Because your strength had not been depleted. Listen, I said to you earlier, Hagar was in the presence of water that would save her life. She was too blind to see it. Many business people, from cheating customers, from running pumps in filling stations, adjusted to favor the seller. Something that God says an unjust weight is an abomination in his sight. Little things like that. Nobody's going to catch you. Don't worry. But the day the deal that will have made you the next mobile of this world will come, you won't recognize it. You will say, don't mind that they want to cheat me. And God, you see, he's blind. He's blind. I was about to give him the ability to kill 1 million giants at a go. But he had lost his strength in small dealings here and there, cheating people on 2 naira, 200 naira, 1,000 naira. That has depleted his strength. He cannot see the business of $1 billion when he came. That's what I'm talking about. Giant killer. Why do they lose their strength? Samson did not know he was wasting his strength little by little. Like I said, sin is a slow poison. God doesn't get to heaven and say, okay, how many people stole on this side? Those who committed adultery on that side, all right, what do we do to them? No. A man engaged in iniquity is unable to fulfill the will of God for his life. That's all.
You have just listened to a radio message by Pastor Banky. More of this and other messages are available from our website, kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.org. To contact us, especially to let us know how much this has been a blessing to you, please write us at radiosermons@gmail.com or pastor@kwm.com.ng. Do not forget to do your part in spreading the kingdom of God by sharing this message with someone else. Thank you for listening, and may the fruit of this word blossom in your life.